Welcome to the Town and Country Podcast, Two Churches, One Ministry. I am your host, Jonathan Illion, and what a joy it is to be with you here today as we start a new topic for our podcast. Joining us today is Pastor Kevin Richter, who is the pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Rhinebeck, Iowa, and Pastor Gerald Kopanka, who is the pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa. How are you two doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you, Kevin?
I'm real good.
Okay, so today we are doing something a little different. This is going to be fun. We are going to be chatting with our pastors about what they love the most about Holy Week, what makes it exciting and also stressful for them, about the Easter season in general. And this part of the church calendar for me has always been a very important part of my life. And I'm curious to see what your answers are to the questions that we have today. So I'm not going to start with anyone in particular. So just jump in with your answers when you have them. Are you two ready to be quizzed? Here it comes.
Yeah. Now I'm nervous.
Now, there are no prizes at the end and no one gets bragging rights. So here we go. So the first question that I have for you is, what was your favorite part of Holy Week growing up as a child attending services?
I'll refer to the old guy who has to go way back to his childhood.
Way back.
Well, back in the days when we didn't have electric lights and we still lit by candle. Now, this sounds really terrible, and it is in no way reflects the sanctity of worship, but I loved Lent services for one reason only, is because after church, we always had snacks and desserts, and I look forward to going down to the church basement, and that's where you would have some brownies and maybe some chocolate cake. I had no clue what went on during the service, but my entire time during the service was looking forward to it being over so I could go have snacks and desserts afterwards.
That's right.
And I'll take that even one step further, because I grew up in a dual parish town church, country church, and they go back and forth every other week. But at the country church, it was always so fun because, we go down and get our cookies or brownies in the basement. But then while all the adults sat around and talked, all the kids would go outside and play hide and go seek in the dark, because it was cornfield and trees So we'd be running all over the churchyard playing hide and go seek in the dark while the adults are in, and then they come out and just yell, "Time to go home," and we'd have to leave. And
And my favorite part was going back for seconds of those snacks. See, I'm paying for it today, that's for sure. So
no, I do. I don't know. I've always loved Lent. The hymns are just more somber, and hearing those hymns takes me right back to those Wednesday nights in church, kind of half wondering as a kid, why are we here an extra time this week? But also just appreciating the songs and the words. But I loved, Holy Week, especially. A Monday, Thursday was this super long reading about confession that just like, what is this? But then Good Friday in particular, I think, has always been my favorite. The darkness, no lights on, and the slamming of the book. I always look forward to watching all the old ladies jump, even though they knew it was coming, because like you're just anticipating, but you don't know the exact moment it's going to slam and make this loud noise. And then leaving in silence. There's always something about leaving church in silence and this, like, you cannot talk until you get to the car and shut the door, and like people come outside and start jabbering. And I, as a kid, was just like, "Shh, you can't do that. Shh, get in your car," like you're not allowed to talk. But just this idea that, like, as I got older and learned to appreciate the slamming of the book, being the representation of the tomb shutting and the leaving in silence out of, reflection that Christ is dead, and we honor that and reflect upon that. And, really we're waiting for Easter morning and leaving like the disciples left, deflated and defeated, even though we have the hope. And so I don't know, as a kid, I began picking up on those things and really appreciated some of those things.
Yeah. I think, with the years as they go by, the more I appreciate those kinds of things in my life too. Obviously as a kid, you think in terms of childish things and childish ways. But as I grow mature and I'm just now beginning to appreciate truly the awe and wonder of that event. And I don't know if I'll ever fully grasp what it means. But the, the reverence of just the whole experience. You know, we began in our ministry, or I began in my ministry many years ago, starting the Holy Week services on Wednesday night with this day, public confession and private absolution. And that kind of sets the stage. It's not really a full service, but it begins you thinking in terms of this series of events with Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and then that slamming of the book, that leaving church in silence, which, you know, I concur completely. There's just something powerful about that reality. So yeah, I appreciate more and more every year exactly what that is.
So now, as you grew up in the church and now you are both pastors, what is the most exciting thing that you believe that Holy Week offers people?
I mean, the most exciting part obviously is Easter, but you know, it also feels incomplete if you just go straight to Easter. You know, I love the 40 days of Lent, the full season of this penitential season, somber hymns and more, you know, focused on the law and our sin and these things leading up to, you know, not singing the Alleluias and those kind of things leading up to the celebration. And then especially Holy Week is just like a heightened sense of that. You know, it's kind of a roller coaster. You come in on Palm Sunday praising him as king when the kids are singing and waving palm branches. And then you get to Maundy, Thursday, and the reverence of the Last Supper and thinking about body and blood and this meal and, you know, eating and drinking. And then, of course, Good Friday, as we're talking about, trying to grasp just what that was like for those disciples to go through, but also what that's like for us to go through and be reminded of what Christ has done for us on the cross and the brutality of his death. And then, you know, kind of the silence of Saturday. You know, I kind of like the Triduum of Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday into Easter and not having an Easter vigil. Not that there's anything wrong with Easter vigils, but, you know, just this, that you go to church Thursday, you go to church Friday, nothing Saturday, because we're just kind of waiting and anticipation. And then come early Sunday morning and have the grand celebration and the trumpets and the music and the songs and just the full week, how it plays out. Like, I don't know. I couldn't be a person that went Palm Sunday to Easter, because it's just like you miss so much and you kind of miss the roller coaster ride. You start and you finish and like, okay, it's a celebration, but going through the full week just makes it that much more heightened and appreciative of everything that takes to get to Easter.
Well, and I honestly kind of enjoy, in a way, simply because you know what the answer is at the end. I kind of like the idea of Good Friday, the feeling of Good Friday as you are experiencing the pain of that Good Friday, almost milking it through Saturday, going, okay, well, there's anticipation. There's something coming. I know it. And there we are.
Yeah. And on a very personal level, you know, for pastors, you know, Holy Week is a stressful, busy week. There's just a lot going on, you know, and you know, it seems like on a very regular basis, you have a member who's really sick or, you know, unfortunately you have somebody pass away. So you throw in a funeral or you throw in a couple of hospital calls or visits and you've got this anxiety stress of trying to put all the services together. Having that experience of Saturday to simply step back for me as a worshiper, not only as the pastor who's got to preach the sermon and make sure that all the bits and pieces are put together in the right place and everything is prepared for and all things, but for me to just take a moment and take a breath and say, this is really not just about me leading worship, but it's about me worshiping my God. It's about me being able to say, this is for me too. And I appreciate that Saturday. And so that whole flow from, as you rightly say, from Ash Wednesday and just kind of that build up towards it. You've got the Palm Sunday and you know, as I echo again what you say, Kevin, which I hate to do too often because I know you get this big head, but yeah. I appreciate that Saturday just for me to take a breath. And that's the time when I can spend some time in my own life and say, you know, I stop being the pastor who has to lead the church, but I become the worshiper of my own life.
Yep. All right. So this is a good segue into the next question. I'm glad that you spoke about that, because what is that thing that is the most stressful, the most draining part of Holy Week for you as an individual, as a pastor?
Well, for me, it's just trying to keep up with all the young guys like Pastor Kevin and doing all things. But yeah. On a serious level, you know, my sinful nature wants to do a really good job. You know, my sinful nature wants people to say, hey, Pastor, that was an awesome, you know, Holy Week services. You know, Monday, Thursday was wonderful. Good Friday, I just felt moved. I felt really like I was at the foot of the cross. Easter Sunday blew me away. And my sinful nature wants that because my ego needs to hear that. And so I think stressful for me is just trying to do those things, but not to realize that, that's not dependent upon me. And then you throw in the typical ministry things that has to happen. You still have to prepare Bible classes. You still have to do the shut-in calls. And as I've said before, it seems like on a regular basis, somebody gets seriously sick. Maybe you have a funeral or you have a couple of hospital calls. You got somebody in intensive care. You're writing extra sermons. You're doing extra work. And so those just added stress level things. And I put it on myself. I want my sermons to be maybe just a notch better than they are on a typical Sunday. And that's not right. It's not good. It's not the way it should be done. But I'm a sinful being, and that's the way I put my own stress on myself.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got four bulletins, four sets of slides to make, four, you know, everything. And I like to make it all connect together, you know, that if you come to one, you come to the next, you come to the other, it all ties together. But yeah, I think that the stressful part happens months before in trying to pick the themes. You know, what am I going to preach on? Because it, you know, again, it's, yes, I want to do a good job. I want these services, but I also want them to be beneficial to the people. And I, you know, and seeing at most churches, St. John's isn't unique in this. It's a Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, or some of our lesser attended services. You know, what can I do that will create a reason for others that do come to say, wow, you really missed out on something. You know, I you missed a powerful message, not just because I'm such a good preacher, but because it spoke to them in a new way. You know, I think this is the hard part is people say, I know the story. I know how Thursday goes. I know how Friday goes. I know it leads to Easter. I can celebrate Good Friday on my own and still come celebrate Easter. That doesn't impact me. And it's like, well, how do I, you know, not to be creative and new, there's nothing new about the gospel, but how do I bring it to you in a way that is maybe you've never thought about before, or a way that just kind of refreshes it, that isn't just the same old story, the same old preaching. I mean, we preach Christ crucified every week. That's part of a sermon. So how do you heighten that? How do you really drive that home? You know, how do you use the whole service to kind of speak to this? You know, is it the extinguishing of the candles? Is it the slamming of the book? What details can I add that make it more real, that make it, you know, quote unquote, I hate this phrase, but worth your time to come experience that so that you are prepared for Easter, you know? And right. I put a lot of stress on myself to try to create that service that will just be moving of, I can't fathom not being here, you know? And again, that part of that is my sinful nature too, of I want to be that pastor that can do that. But I also want people to leave that just saying, okay, yes, this is why this is important to come to these.
And I think that this is a very important side for people to see is the, you know, what goes on in the mind of a pastor as they're preparing for this very, very busy week. You know, they're, you know, how do we put it all together? How do we inspire people? How do we touch them? And I think that that's something that people need to know about. So
one of the other things I would just add to that, and you know, Kevin will experience this, and as his ministry continues on, is, you know, I've had the privilege and the joy of preaching Easter services for 30 plus years, and after 30 years of preaching the same message, you know, how do you say the same thing in a wonderful, beautiful way, different 30 times to people who've heard it all before, and coming up with a new way? When I was on my vicarage, my senior pastor supervisor said the hardest sermons in the world to preach are the holidays. And I just thought, oh, that's crazy, because, you know, you get to talk about Easter or Christmas or one of the great festivals of our Lord. Now, having preached all these things before, he's absolutely right. Because how do you preach the resurrection of Jesus different but the same? And coming up with a different perspective and it, you know, these people, I've been here at Emmanuel more than 20 years. They've heard 20 of my Easter sermons. How is this one different than the last 18? And that's a little bit interesting to come up with a new idea. So that's why I normally grab Kevin's from last year and then I preach it this year. They have no idea.
Yeah. And the other aspect of that is, I mean, on any given Sunday, you're trying to preach to children and those who are brand new in the faith and those who have grown up in the church their entire life, you know, in the wide spectrum of where people coming from and their biblical knowledge and, you know, and trying to reach all of them, a message that speaks to all of them. The holidays, you also throw in, you know, the CEOs of the church, Christmas, Easter only, you know, and you get these people that yeah. are coming once a year or twice a year. And I want a message that speaks the gospel to them and, you know, really tries to enliven their faith that maybe this is the chance the Spirit can work through to bring right. them back to church. But I don't want it to be so simple for them that, you know, everybody who's been here for 30 years in a row says, okay, I didn't get anything out of that. You know, so how do you do all this in one sermon, one service? And that's where, like, I see the beauty of it's not a 15-minute sermon or, you know, 20-minute sermon. I've got an hour service, you know, the hymns we sing, the liturgy we write, the things we do all has meaning and purpose. Every detail of it, you know, is intentional for this group, for that group, for these people. And, you know, I think that might be one thing that our members just aren't aware of is how much thought goes into every part of the service for four services in 1 week. You know, it's easy to grab and paste what we did last year and do it again, but I want to do something new. I want to do something different that speaks to a different group in a different way, you know? And so just constantly trying to do that, that is a little draining, you know? And then at the end, a lot of times we don't get a lot of feedback other than good job, Pastor. And it's like, okay, did that connect? Did that resonate? Did right. that work? Did they pick up that detail that tied to this? I don't know. Let's yep. start planning for next year, you know? And so,
well, and at the same time, while we're doing all of this human nature stuff to put these together and do exactly what you said, we also know intellectually and spiritually that it's none of this depends on us.
Right.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we trust in the Holy Spirit to do His work. And so we have no role in this other than being His work, and yet we still want to give the very best we can. So yep. you've got this dynamic be saying, this doesn't depend upon me. It's God's work through this holy effort, and yet it totally depends on me. What was Luther's quote? You know, work like everything depends on you and pray like nothing depends.
Yeah, something like that.
Something
yeah.
that quote.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the idea of our members hearing this, that giving feedback is a good thing, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. That idea is we're working on that goal of making sure that people hear the gospel, and we want to know that things are working for them or not working for them. So one last question. Why do you encourage our members to attend all four services?
Because we have four offerings.
That's exactly right. Oh, yeah. Well, that, right. well
this,
I guess
this
that
is our big
up.
Time to
yeah.
make money. This is the only time we get nothing. Wow. What a terrible thing to say.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So what's
that's how he gets his feedback. How much money is in the plate? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there we go with that one. All right. Now,
what just ended my career.
Yeah, right there. No hope whatsoever.
No, I mean, it'd be easy to say, we put so much work into this, you come appreciate it. And it's not that at all. It's not. You know, I would do this amount of work for this service if five people attended. I don't care about
Absolutely.
That. I mean, I see the beauty of it being raised in the church and having those experiences as a kid. And the older I've gotten and the more I've appreciated them, you have that foundation to build on and, you know, and really start to see the beauty and focus on different details and really bring it to life. And again, just that full roller coaster from from Ash Wednesday, but now from Palm Sunday through Thursday, Friday into Sunday, you know, I just think it's worth the extra time at church. It's worth dragging your kids to two more church services just to teach them and raise them in that, for yourself to hear that word and let that word speak to your faith and let the Spirit do His job to point you to the sacrament and to the death and to the resurrection, you know, and all these things that the rest of the year we continue to teach and preach on. So.
So it's important to hear the entire message, Palm Sunday, all the way through Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, all the way through Easter. That's what we're trying to get across here.
Absolutely. And you would just add to that the fact that, you know, we are totally and committed in love with our Lord. And the more that we can be in His presence and let Him love us back through this journey, this is the most important time of His life and His ministry, and to be able to share that love through these worship services, through the songs, the hymns, the liturgy, and the message, the sermon, through the sacrament that we offer, that we get a chance to encourage people to say, fall in love with Christ again and be in love with Him through these worship services. Let Him love you through this way. It's about being with Christ and Christ with us.
And I would add that, you know, every worship service is more about what God is doing for us than what we're doing for God. You know, sure, we give an hour of our time, but God is the one feeding us. God is the one forgiving us. God is the one renewing us and refreshing us. And each one of these four services has a little different something to offer. You know,
right.
Palm Sunday has the hosannas, the focus on the king. You know, Monday, Thursday has the sacrament. Yeah, we receive it twice a month or, you know, whatever. But this is, you know, a emphasis focus on the sacrament and the forgiveness found in the body and blood. The Good Friday has the realization of the law. My sin put him there. You know, we receive that dose of the law, but also the gospel that he did this for us because he loves us. And then Easter is just that grander celebration when you've went through the whole thing. And so each service has its own unique thing to offer us as God pours into us, as we just try to love Christ and grow in our love for him too. And so, yeah.
So, yeah, there it is.
There it is. Well, I would like to encourage everyone who's listening to this particular podcast, come over and take a look and see what we have to offer. We do live stream our services. We do post them online. We want you to be a part of it here in person if you can. So I think that wraps it up for us for this podcast today. Thank you very much for choosing to join us for the Town and Country Podcast, Two Churches, One Ministry. Once again, special thanks goes out to our audio engineer, Mr. Dave Kaler, for setting up this podcast. He does this as a volunteer and he helps us sound so good. And so we are very thankful for his talent. On behalf of Pastor Kevin and Pastor Kapanka, I am your host, Jonathan Illion, and we invite you to come back again next time as we bring you the Town and Country Podcast. Thanks again and have a great week.